Morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to you all. Thank you all for being here with us. I want to express deep gratitude to the men who helped to cook the breakfast this morning. They started a little bit before 6 a.m. And worked very hard for about 2.5 to 3 hours, helping to prepare everything to be able to share with all of us, but especially to the women of this church in celebration of Mother's Day. Some of them are in the room, and so they don't like to do this, but I'm going to ask those men who are here to stand, who helped to prepare the breakfast this morning. Okay, I see some of you here who I know helped with this, so. I was telling somebody a little earlier, now I'm going to have trouble keeping you all awake during the service because you guys ate so well before coming here. There is one announcement that I wanted to make with you all, and that's found in the center portion of the worship bulletin. I wanted to lift this up for all of you. Many of you know that we in this church are celebrating a historic moment in our church, and that is that this year there will be three people who will be commissioned at our annual conference. Pastor Reverend Dion, who stepped out with the children, Pastor Jeannie Park Hearn, and also Dr. Mark Hearn are all going to be commissioned. In the United Methodist Church, the process of ordination is usually anywhere from 5 to 7 years long, and sometimes can take as long as 12 years to first be commissioned and then to be ordained. They all have come through that process and have gone through their interviews and have been recommended by the Board of Ordained Ministry to be commissioned in our annual conference. So that is a reason for us to give thanks and to celebrate. And one of the things that I wanted to tell you is, you know, I have been a part of the Board of Ordained Ministry 8 years in California, 4 years here. I have never, ever, in my recollection, seen a church that had three people who were going to be commissioned at the same annual conference. So that is a wonderful and joyous thing for us to celebrate, that they are a part of this community. Celebrate and give thanks for that. But the one thing that's kind of a little bit of a mixed bag about it all is that in the organizing of the annual conference, they decided to have the commissioning service at 10:30 in the morning on Sunday. So it's a little bit awkward for us all. There's a part of me that says, we're all going to cancel church and we're all going to go to annual conference. But I know that that's not possible. There are certainly folks here who are not going to be able to make it to the Puyallup Fairgrounds for the commissioning service. But we do want to encourage you to go. And so there are a couple different ways that we're doing that. One is that we will have a group transportation that will take folks Sunday morning and go over to the fairgrounds, and you can be a part of the worship service. So we hope that you'll do that. If you are not going to be able to do that and would like to worship here, there will be a service here. Reverend Hero is going to come back to preach that service, and so we invite you to come at 10 o'clock to worship with us on that day. But it is a wonderful occasion for all of us, and so if you would like to explore group transportation, if you're going to go with us, we're going to have you begin to sign up over the next couple of weeks. We are going to gather together for the worship service, an annual conference. It's a large worship service where all churches are represented in our annual conference. So we want to encourage you all to come to be a part of that. Then following that, we'll have a celebration lunch. We'll be able to have lunch together on that day. And so we hope that you'll come to be with us on that. I asked Pastor Jeannie to let me make that announcement so that she doesn't say, come and celebrate us. So I'm going to say it for us. Come and celebrate and give thanks for these folks who have walked this journey of faith, who have come to hear the call of God in their lives and now desire to make this next step in their journey to be commissioned in our United Methodist Church. So we do invite you, if you've never been to a commissioning ordination service, it's actually a very wonderful thing to experience. And so we hope that you'll come to be with us for that. So please do join us for that. We are coming out of a sermon series and now moving into another time where we'll begin to reflect on some other themes related to peace work. As I was thinking about how best to talk about our sermon this morning and the scripture reading that was read, I was thinking a little bit about how it is that we make decisions in our lives. The reality is that when we awaken in the morning and go about our day, if you think about the fullness of that day, you make hundreds of decisions in your life just thinking about how you get through the day, what time you'll wake up, what you'll eat for food, you know, eat in your meals, where you will go, what you will do, what you'll drive, what transportation you'll go in, how you'll interact with folks, who you talk to, how you engage in the activities of your daily life. You think about it, we go through that almost unconsciously. We don't think much about it, but it's a part of our everyday life. And if you were to actually sit down and actually concentrate on every single moment of your life, it probably would drive you crazy in lots of ways. And yet we know that as much as that is very much a kind of unconscious and works at the level of our subconscious, the decisions that we make in our daily lives, they impact not just us, but they impact the folks around us. They impact our world. But we don't think about it much that way, do we? It's not a way that we've been trained to think. But it's important for us to recognize that in our smallest words and actions, we have the ability to impact the world that we are living in. We think about our actions, and we don't put them in that context. There are those times when we make those profound and large decisions in our lives, and we think, yeah, that might have an effect on our world, but there are ways that we make even sometimes the smallest decisions, and those small decisions, they too have great impact on the world that we are living in. In many ways, when we think about it, we don't put it into that context, but we are shaping the world that we live in, sometimes by the smallest decisions that we make and the way that it impacts our community, the world we live in, the world that we want to live in, how we try to carve out a life for our children and for our grandchildren, we realize that all of that is impacted by the decisions we are making. But the question that I wanted to ask for you all today to think about is, do we fully understand that impact, and are we conscious enough to think about it in that term so that when we make the kinds of decisions that we are making, we realize that we are always, in every circumstance, saying yes to something and no to something else. If we were to really think about our actions, here's a question for you. Do you really think about it in the context of that kind of impact? Do you think that people know what you value by the decisions that you make in your life? Can they tell what's really important to you? Are you able to, in the decisions that you are making, recognize how it impacts the people around you and be conscious enough to really think, is that the kind of person I want to be? Is that the kind of values I want to articulate? Is that the kind of world that I would like to build through my life? In many ways, we don't think about it in those terms, but it's important for us to think about it that way. The scripture passage that I chose and the theme that we're working off of comes from a book that I read called Peace Work. It's called Peace Work by a priest named Henri Nouwen. He's now deceased, but wrote wonderful spiritual works, and he describes this as peace work, and he calls it, the subtitle of his book is Prayer, Resistance, and Community. And what he describes in this book that's so profound is that he says that every action that we take, every word that we share, at some level we see it as saying yes and saying no. But even more profound than that, what he also says is that when we do, we are sometimes offering support to things as we live it. And we are also saying sometimes no and offering acts of resistance by the ways in which we say no to things in our lives. Now, again, we don't think about our actions and our words in that way, but how important it is for us to think about how profound and impactful those words really are, those actions really are in our lives. Nouwen tries to remind us that it is those simple, sometimes the simplest actions and words that have the ability to reflect saying yes to the things that we value, what we want the world to be, and also as well to say no to the very things that are causing and creating around us death and destruction in our very midst. That is a part of what I think the passage that Pastor Jeannie read this morning is articulating, is this idea that the kinds of words and actions that we live out, the way that we interact with the world, it has the ability to say yes and to say no. In the passage, Jesus has this woman brought to her who has committed adultery, and the religious authorities are trying to catch him in a quandary. And so they bring this woman to him and say, the law of Moses says that we should stone this woman. What do you say? And for a moment, Jesus bends down on the ground and begins to write with his hand onto the dirt. And he looks at the religious authorities and says, any of you who is without sin, cast the first stone. And then all of them walk away because they know that they are not sinless and they cannot cast that stone. He looks at the woman and says, where are they to condemn you? Neither do I condemn you, so go and sin no longer. Now, a story, a very powerful and impactful story about Jesus saying yes and saying no. He says yes to a woman caught in adultery so that she might see the light of God's love. He could easily have done it by condemnation or judgment, but he does it by compassion and forgiveness and mercy, knowing that she was a person of ill repute, but also knowing that she is a child of God and seeking to turn her toward the light. He says yes to life and says to her, I do not condemn you, but ask for you to experience this as God's forgiving love. In the very same way, Jesus says no to the powers of death and destruction that all of the religious authorities seek to bring into that moment because they want to stone this woman for her sin. And so Jesus says no to the powers of death and destruction that are making itself known through these religious authorities. But interestingly enough, he also says yes to them. And how he says yes is he does not cast judgment on them nor throw stones at them. What he does instead is to try to transform their hearts by speaking a word that would make them question who they are and how they see the world. He asks them to consider their own sinfulness and to know that they too are in need of God's grace. And so he says no to them so that they would not do these acts of death and destruction. But he also says yes in the hopes that they might experience the light that God would bring into their lives to help to transform their hearts. And so the question for us today is, to what are we saying yes, and to what are we saying no in our lives? It's profound to think about it in those terms and wanting to get us into a motion where we begin to think about our daily lives and actions in that way, because everything that we do says yes to something and says no to something else. And at some level, we want to be able to support the faith and the values and the ideals that we seek to live with in this life. To what are we saying yes to? And to what are we saying no to? When we tell our family that we are going to sit together for a meal every night, we're going to turn our telephones off, we're going to turn the television off, we're going to put the computer off, and we are going to share together about our day and know that we want to make connection with each other. To what are we saying yes to, and to what are we saying no to in those words to our family? To what are we saying yes to, and to what do we say no to when we stand up and speak out when we see injustice in our world and recognize that we have the power to influence that situation by the way that we engage it? What are we saying yes to when we stand up for someone who has no voice in this world? What are we saying yes to, and what are we saying no to when we find ourselves at night praying with our children about their day and asking for them to pray, not for themselves first, but to pray for the world, to pray for those who are experiencing violence and hardship in their lives, to pray for those people who are struggling and suffering through health concerns. And then at the end of their prayer, asking them to thank God for the blessing and the gift of another day. When we pray that with our children, what are we saying yes to and what are we saying no to? We don't think about the actions in just that way, but what I want to suggest is that when we are doing these things, we are building worlds. We're creating the world that we desire for God to establish here on earth through us. And the question is, what would we do with that? And what I want to suggest to all of us today is that when we find ourselves in those circumstances, we are saying no to the me-first world. We are saying no to everyone is in it for themselves. We are saying no to exclusion and to injustice. We are saying no to those who would seek to dehumanize those who are different, who experience life in a different way, who tell their story of faith in a different way, that we would say no to those things. And when we say yes to the other, what we say yes to is to inclusion and a recognition of God's goodness in diversity. We say yes to hospitality and generosity. We say yes to abundance rather than to scarcity. We say yes to community. We say yes to the building of relationships outside of our own friendly bounds. It's a time for us to recognize how powerful our actions are to say yes to a life of abundance and fullness and say no to the forces of death and destruction that are all around us. Again, we don't think about it in those terms, but what Nouwen is reminding us is that if we want to be peacemakers in the world, it begins right there. In so many ways, we want our peacemaking to transform this world so that we will not experience war and violence and hardship and suffering and struggle. And it is true that we all wish that we could do that. But maybe it is that it begins right where we're sitting. It begins in our families and in our community. It begins in our workplaces and in our schools. It begins when we are offering a yes that enables the life-giving values that God has placed in our hearts to be made known and real in the lives of others. That we find ourselves speaking out for others who are voiceless in our society because we desire to stand with them and say yes to solidarity with those who struggle and suffer each and every day of their lives. And so for us, it is a powerful challenge for us to see our smallest actions as actions of peacemaking. But I think that is for us where it begins. It begins right with us, right where we're sitting, right in our families, right in our communities, right in our workplaces, and everywhere we go. You know, yesterday I was in Bremerton, and I was riding back on the ferry, and I was writing my sermon while I was on the ferry. As I got off the ferry, I started to pull out, and I started to see these people. And I had this strong urge to roll the window down and start talking to people. So I was standing there, and the car stopped, and there was a policeman right next to me. And I wanted to roll my window and go, "How's your day going?" And I thought to myself, okay, well, first of all, that's just not me to begin with. And second of all, I thought, he's going to think I'm crazy. And yet, it reminds us that sometimes just that word of kindness and compassion and caring to others, it builds worlds. It enables people to know that there are others who want to be in community with others. They want to talk to others and engage others and find out how their day is going. How many of you have ever gone into a store early in the morning and found that you greet a clerk greets you and the clerk is rude and obnoxious and unfriendly and not helpful and it ruins your whole day? Or how many of you have gone into a store where the clerk has been gracious and kind and caring and helpful and you say to yourself, "Wow, that's so great." You walk out and you realize you're feeling better about yourself and you desire to share that same spirit with other people. You might think that that is a small thing, but what Nouwen reminds us about is that is the true act of peacemaking. It begins right where we are sitting in the world that we are engaging in. And it was just an interesting feeling because I'm not that outgoing. I'm pretty introverted, but I wanted to start rolling my window down and talking to every single person who walked by just to ask them how their day is going because I felt like that is a way to engage in an affirmation of life and to say no to the forces of death and destruction that are all around us. We see it everywhere. We see it on the television. We see it in our political process. We see it in our leaders. We see it everywhere. The question is, are we going to be able to affirm that which is life and begin right where we are sitting? And I want to suggest to all of us that that is the true beginning of peace work in this world. It starts right where you are. My prayer is that we would take that to heart and see our smallest and simplest kinds of actions and decisions to be a part of that kind of peacemaking. As I close the service today, close my part of the service today, I should tell a story about a mother. And so I'm going to tell you a story about a mother. And so this is a picture that's going to come up. I've told stories about this young man before, but I want to talk especially about his mother today. So this is Dale Inouye, who is Derek Inouye's brother. Many of you know Derek from California. He's somebody that I've known his entire life as I was his pastor in Southern California. This is his brother Dale. And I've told you all about Dale before, a young man who died at the age of 9 from leukemia. And it was, go back to the other picture first, Ryan. I want to go stay with that one for a little while. So we had been in relationship with them for their entire lives, for their family's entire lives. And I remember being called to the hospital when they were trying to find out why Dale kept getting sick. And so I went to the hospital and I entered the room just as the doctor was telling this mother and father that their child had leukemia. And I remember the face of the mother just dropping. And when the doctor left the room, she cried out to me, "Reverend Derek, what did we do to bring this on our child? Why is God doing this? Why is my child suffering so greatly?" And I didn't have an answer for her, but only could pray with her that God would be with them throughout this journey. And the thing that just was so powerful for me is from that moment on, I think that the mother and the father made a decision. And that was, in the context of our sermon today, they refused to say yes to leukemia and to cancer, and instead say yes to abundant living in the face of leukemia and cancer. And so for the mother, for the whole family really, and I don't want to put just the mother, but I really want to lift up the mother today because his mother, Julianne, was the one who I think made up her mind that he was going to be a boy who lived abundantly every single day. So I show you these pictures because this is Dale. Dale who played basketball in a basketball league. Dale who danced hula. Dale who played golf. Dale who blessed and touched the lives of so many. He was an inspiration to all of us because he refused with his mother to allow cancer to be something that would control his life. I remember his mother, Julianne, would call me sometimes and ask me, "Reverend Derek, are you at the office? We're going to the doctor and we want you to pray with us." And I'd be in my pajamas at home, and I'd be like, "Okay, I'll be there in 5 minutes." And so I'd rush down to the office, and I would sit with them. And I could see that they were struggling because Dale was suffering so much. He was in such great pain. And yet his mother continued to believe and continued to pray that Dale would be able to live as full a life as possible. And in the context of how I'm couching this message, she refused to say yes to cancer, and instead said yes to abundant life and fullness for Dale every single day of his life. And he experienced so much in 9 years. I remember the family was talking with me one time about how the mother kept making Dale go to school and kept making him do homework. And I remember Dale and Danny and Derek, the brothers, would all laugh about how Dale was like, "Why should I do homework? Why should I do homework?" And for Julianne, she wanted him to experience all of school as any child would, and did so in a profound and inspirational way. And so every single day for her was a time for her to lift up her son so that he might experience whatever God could bring to him in the fullness of his life every single day. One of the things that happened throughout that journey was that they were trying to do bone marrow transplants, and his brother Derek was the one who gave to him a bone marrow transplant. It wasn't an exact match, but they had to try it because they were coming to a place where it was so very difficult. And so Julianne called me and asked me to come to the hospital, and as the bone marrow was being transferred from Derek to Dale, she asked me to pray for the both of them. And it was just a powerful moment of faith where she really believed that God was very much present in the midst of this situation that was horrible for their family, and yet continued to say that she was going to choose life for her son. Now, in many ways, you think that leukemia got the best of Dale because his life ended at 9, but I will tell you that it did not. Leukemia did not have the last word. because Dale's inspiration continues to flow in all of us who knew him. There is a Dale Inouye Foundation that raises money for cancer and for leukemia research in Southern California. Dale continues to touch countless lives, even though he is no longer present with us in body. His spirit is very much alive with us. Now, I think in many ways, his mother, Julianne, she did not think about it beyond the world of their own small family. But the thing that is most powerful is that she shaped a world for Dale that enabled him to live his life fully as he possibly could. But she also impacted the lives of all of those who were touched by their story, by all of the ways that Dale impacted the lives of others. She would never have thought that that would be possible. And yet, as she was able to bring that through Dale to the world, it transformed all who knew them and all who were blessed to be inspired by his story. And so I tell you that story because it's important for us to know that I think our actions are very much the same. That when we think about how we interact with our family, in our workplaces, in our church, in our community, that it is very much like that. We have the power to shape the world by the power of the Holy Spirit that is inside of each one of us. And the question for us is, will we take that responsibility? Are we ready to say yes to that which is life abundant and say no to the forces of death and destruction that are all around us? My prayer is that we are ready to say yes, and we begin to look at each one of our actions, sometimes very small and very simple, sometimes profound and very great, and yet each one building and establishing the reign of God in the world. And my prayer is that we are ready to stand up and say yes to life abundant and speak out against anything that is the forces of death and destruction making themselves known in this life that seeks to tear us apart and tear us down and bring us to our knees and recognize that it is in God that we can choose life so that we and our descendants might live. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Loving God, we are grateful and thankful for all of the ways that you bless and move us in our lives. It is so difficult for us to imagine that our small actions could somehow shape the world and the universe of our living. And yet, oh God, today you remind us this day that when we say yes to life abundant, we are shaping and we are establishing your reign here on earth. And so we pray, oh God, that you would help us to carry that responsibility in all of its fullness. Help us, O God, to know that our simplest actions, they do impact the world around us. And our prayer, O God, is that we would be able to see its impact and do so in such a way that it would establish and bring forth an abundant life, not just for us, but for all the world. Our prayer this day, O God, is that you would keep us mindful of this reality, this truth, and that as we do, guide our steps, keep us courageous, help us to be wise, and help us to make good choices, good decisions that always affirm life in the abundance that you have placed inside of us. And help us as well, O God, to be strong enough to stand against the forces of death and destruction as they make themselves known to us in our daily lives. It is no small task, O God, that you give to us. And so we need you with us now. We pray, O God, that you would work with us, move with us, walk with us, hold our hand, guide us, and help us to make the kinds of choices that would establish fully your reign here on earth. We pray these things, O God, to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.